If we look at the whole world at this moment in time, and there are different religions, different beliefs, different sects, but however many at this moment in time in the world there are present religions and sects and people who believe, who don't believe, or whatever religion a person belongs to, everyone is agreed on one thing. Everybody accepts one thing, and that is death. Death, nobody rejects death. Nobody will refuse death. Even a person, whoever is in the, even if he's a wild person, he'll accept that we have to die eventually. Any religion, if you take it, any sect, if you take it, any grouping, nobody refuses or rejects death. Everyone is agreed that death is a reality and everyone believes in that. Our deen, our religion, Islam, obviously the foundation of it is this, maut, death and the hereafter. And on this, all of our success is based on this. The Quran is filled with this, and this is the part of our iman, yawm al-akhir, that to believe in the hereafter. This is a part of our iman. What's the difference then? That they also believe in death and we believe in death and in Islam and the others. What is the difference? The difference is this, that we don't just accept death. Rather, our Rabb, our Lord, has told us something greater than this, more important than this, and that is that maut, you must prepare for the death. You must prepare. And here the difference comes between all the other religions and Islam. Why? Because Islam is based on reality, on the truth, on the facts. And the rest is just different. They don't have the facts. So here, everyone can accept, nobody can reject that death is to come, and they all accept and believe. But if we see, because they don't know anything beyond that in accepting that death will come, they don't know about what's going to happen after that. Somebody's burning the deceased, somebody's putting him as food to the animal, somebody's throwing a body into the sea or in a different way. They don't know that after this, is there a life? They say, that's it, finished. We've done the procession, subhanAllah. May we give our all for this deen, alhamdulillah. This deen that Allah Ta'ala has put us onto, that, and without asking, Allah Ta'ala gave us iman, subhanAllah. Look here. Today, this is the barakah of iman, that we are speaking like this and talking about this. And with peace, we are sitting in the house of Allah, and alhamdulillah, that their breath, by dying, it passes. But at the time, we are ready always for death. When will death come? And that's how we pass that time. As soon as we get up from the bed, we say, Allah, we were dead and we've woken up. And when we go to sleep, we say, Allah, we are going towards death. That is the basis of our life, the reality of death. We're not afraid of death. What a deen, alhamdulillah. What a religion. And the biggest fear and danger is that even a small threat, a little bit of a shake, a little bit of, death has come, dying. Subhanallah. And our deen, what do we say? Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. That it cannot come unless Allah wills and unless Allah wants until that time. So look at the difference between Islam and other religions. And that's such a big reality that such a person, he became a Muslim on this point. In our halakha he is, alhamdulillah. He came on the deen for this reason. I said that what purpose or what point motivated you towards Islam? He's our colleague, he came into Islam. And mashallah, now, if you see, he's just like him. He looks like, mashallah, the full effect. Not just some minor sunnah Islam he is practicing, mashallah. And strong Catholic he was. Very strong. And his father passed away. And now think, we don't have any value and appreciation for this deen. Such a great asset Allah has given to us. How much do we value this deen? Tell me. Allahu Akbar. He said that my father died and I had a lot of love for my father. Obviously everybody has, whether he's a disbeliever or a believer, everyone loves their mother and father, isn't it? Blood relationship. The person, even the animals, they love their children. The children love their parents, the animals. So obviously with the human being, he said, I wasn't at peace, I wasn't content. He said, not for a second was I at peace. My father died. What shall I do? So I went to our priests. He said, I don't feel peace in my heart. Where's my father at this moment in time? And if they had an answer, they'd give it, wouldn't they? Yes, they don't know anything beyond the life here. And they have no answer, no reply, no response. So he doesn't know. He said, they just gave me some hanky-panky answer. He said, no, I knew they were lying. They weren't telling me the right thing. He said, I had a friend. And I said to him that nobody is giving me the right answer about my father. So tell me, where can I realize about my father? What's his position? He said, this is the real thing. Come, I'll tell you, alhamdulillah. And the conclusion came out that when he was told that our aqeedah is based on this, the hereafter, what happens after death, we are to die. And after that, the real life will begin, the life of the hereafter. This house we're living in here, it's a fake house. But we will get the real house after this. We are eating fake food. These are fake apples. And we will get the genuine, the real apple. Whatever we're eating in this world is fake. It's pretend. Totally pretend just to fill the stomach. But the real food is where? In the hereafter. Alhamdulillah. The real food. These are fake wives here in this world. They spit and they get a cold, etc. But the real wife is waiting for us in the heavens, the hurs. So all of this in this world is what? This is nakli, fake. It's not asal. It's not fake. And we're happy on this because we don't have iman. But the mu'min, he's not happy. He's always thinking, I want to get the genuine thing. I want to get the real thing. That's where I'm going. Look at that, such a fantastic concept and iman that we have. Iman, Quran, Allah's orders, Rasulullah's glory. What a gathering and a collection of Islam. And how much do we value? Look at this. How much do we value this? How much do we do amal on the sunnah of Rasulullah? How much do we practice Islam? How much we don't appreciate deen and it will be thrown back to us. Allah says, I gave you such a great asset and this is how much you valued it. So this is one point. That such a great asset Allah has bestowed to us, Islam, and it's not based in any other religion. The hereafter. The hereafter life. Now hereafter doesn't just finish where we think. The concept of akhirah is what, do you understand? We have to go back to the akhirah. The whole Quran is filled with this reality. All the verses, you're going to come back, you're going to come back, you're going to come back. Allah Ta'ala is making our iman solid and compact. For which reason? For this reason, so that we can prepare for the hereafter. So that we can prepare for the hereafter. And this is the objective of the mu'min, his life, purpose from morning till night. Our purpose, Allah has given to us, is what? That we prepare for the hereafter where we have to return to. One day this journey will end in this world. And when will it end? Even this, the great asset of iman, Allah has given us this knowledge as well. Totally. Allah Ta'ala has not given us the timing. Will it be tomorrow, in the morning, in the evening, now, afterwards, in the young life, in the old life, due to illness will it be, due to an accident, due to drowning, due to the heavens in a plane? We don't know. Nobody knows where he will die, when he will die, how he will die. Why? Behind this, Allah's hikmah, Allah's wisdom. For this reason, so the more compactly and steadfastly and regularly we prepare for the hereafter. Because if Allah was to tell me that after 10 years I'm going to die, then I'd just cool down. I wouldn't prepare. Oh, after 10 years when maut is near, then I'll prepare. But Allah Ta'ala has not shown this. He's hidden this fact that not for a second of a human being should he live his life that I don't prepare for going back to the hereafter, towards the reality of the hereafter. This is the purpose, the genuine reason for our life. Not a second of ours in this life should be such, because we don't have yaqeen. And this is what happens. We sat down, a person's in the masjid, he goes home, he left the building, he went. You see poor souls, they come to the masjid, people come, they pass while they're coming or going. Morning and evening we see this. Where? Was he sick? Oh, he had symptoms, corona, etc. These are all just means to the death. There are people who have, for example, from a long time they're ill, but they don't die. They're ill for a long time. They're lying down. They're not dying. And there are some people that he's got no illness. But his heart, the pace increased. And after that, called the ambulance, he passed away. Ups and downs of life, Allah Ta'ala shows us. For this reason, not for a minute, should we waste our time. First lesson of today is this, yes? First lesson of today is what? That our life, the objective of life is what? is as a mu'min, a believer, we have full yaqeen, where are we to go? Back to where? Thereafter. And we are different from all the other religions, this belief. We are not to stay here. Where are we going to go? Back to the hereafter. Just like you've come from a country to here, from Pakistan I came here, or I came to visit someone here for a job or a business or purpose. Always the ticket, the flight, the return ticket's in his pocket. Rather, morning and evening he looks at his ticket. Has the date changed? Has my flight changed, altered? Am I late? When he gets fed up, sometimes he wants to go back home quickly. Then he remembers his wife and his children, and he remembers, for example, he has waswasa. Whispering, I don't want that, I stop here, I get delayed, or something stops me and I get stuck here. Well, isn't this the case? Because he has a love for going back to where he came from. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. This is nature. He says, I want to go back. To go back. So England, I've got to travel. And when his passionate desire for traveling ends, then he remembers his old city, or my wife sat there, my children are waiting. Quickly, I need to go back. Subhanallah. This is the mu'min. The real mu'min, what does he feel and believe? Always he's desperate. I have to go back. Subhanallah. So that's the difference. Those people who are false mu'mins, who don't prepare, and the real mu'min who prepares when they prepare. Always they look in their pocket, the return ticket. I've got to go back. They don't think that, oh, I'm here forever, this and that. He knows the return ticket is there, it's confirmed. The mu'min, he keeps the death ticket next to him. Not that I'll be sick, then I'll get coronavirus, then another reason will come, another sickness will come, then I'll get the flu, then I'll get sick. He knows that always, every second, I don't know when I'm going to die. Maybe on the pavement, Allah will take me back. Every breath he considers his last breath. This is the glory of the people of Iman. And this is what it should be. If we're not like this, then we are very weak indeed. Why? Shaitan, what's the biggest enmity he has with us? Shaitan, the enmity he has made with us is that on this point he makes us forget us. This point. Compare that when you came from your country to here, then Shaitan, he doesn't call you. For example, you have the love for going there and you're ready to go back. But the people who want to go back, that for example, that he doesn't have the passion and desire to go back. The reason for this is that the Shaitan, for example, makes you feel that this is where you need to come here. He's giving you the trap, the invitation that you don't remember your asal, the way you come from, that he's made us stuck in this dunya. Running after the ghair and non-essential things. And he's made us involved morning till evening in activities that are not necessary. And we are in the life of ghaflat, negligence, ignorance. And this is the enmity of shaitan with us. If we don't prepare for the hereafter, and the human being today, 99.9% people, they're away from, they're ghafil. They're negligent, lazy, ignorant of the reality of life. Because our life in this world, it proves that we believe we're going to live here forever. And our desires and passions and hobbies show that we have no concept of the akhirah, that we're going to go back to the akhirah. We don't even think about the akhirah. To this extent, that Allah Ta'ala has given us the example, morning and evening Allah shows to us, people are dying, passing away, we give them ghusl, we put the kafan, the shroud, we take them to the graveyard, we just think, this is our duty, that we fulfill, do the salatul janazah, we pray salatul janazah, a little bit of sadness, but it's not the sadness that we should learn from, we speak a lot, oh he's gone, oh we're going to go one day, tomorrow you're going to go, but we don't know anything in our hearts about that reality of going back, it's just traditional words coming out of our mouth. The style of preparation is totally different what it should be. If this reality is coming to my heart, I've got yaqeen, then my style is totally different. Then he's sleeping on the mattress is different. He's running his business is different. His life with his wife, children, home, family, outside, he has a unique relationship with everything. Very unique way of life, that nowhere is his heart happy and content. He's doing actions for a necessity. He's on a journey. He has no love or passion for the dunya. He has no desire to embed himself in the dunya. But he's forced. He's living here. He gets up. He eats. He do this. He does that. Necessities of life. He follows the system. But in reality, his heart is not touching his world. His heart and mind and focus in one place. When am I going back? When am I returning to the hereafter? Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Do you understand what I'm saying? So what's the point here? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here to us. Allah is reminding us, teaching us that leave shaitan and prepare for maut, death. Prepare for death. And preparation for death, what do we do for preparation for death? Subhanallah. If a person starts preparing for maut, death, Then when a person says, okay, from today I'm going to pray for death, then he'll see many things in front of him. That, what's this? Shall I do this? Shall I do this amal, this action, this amal, this action? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given such beautiful explanation in the Quran, a teaching, a beautiful amal. Allah has stated in the Quran, subhanallah, such a beautiful, beloved action, that one amal with that, the human being, he's hit the bullseye with preparation. One amal. One action. If a human being does that in his life, today, for that amal, I'm giving you dawah invitation, mashallah. This one amal, if we do it, look, Allah Ta'ala has so many good news, glad tidings in the Quran Allah has given to us, based on this amal, this action, if we bring it into our life. If we adopt it, and due to this amal, all our other issues are spoilt, based on the preparation for the akhirah. A hadith I remember I'd like to share with you. I think it's in Kanzul Imal. Kanzul Amal has Abu Darda radiallahu anhu has narrated this, the beautiful, unique style of Rasulullah SAW to explain to the Ummah. They cannot imagine that how Rasulullah he disseminated them teachings and gave them messages to the Ummah from the young child to the older person. He can understand this message and start Amal. The noble companions are sitting, their Jama'ah is there, they are assembled, and the Prophet SAW questioned and asked the Sahaba Ikram a question, is the meaning of the hadith I'm sharing with you here. And the Prophet ﷺ said, if there are three brothers, Allah's Nabi says, what a great message is being given. And how? That you are listening to this hadith, inshallah, if you're listening, then everybody will understand this hadith. The beautiful teachings of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. He said, there are three brothers. There are three brothers, he said. And from the three brothers, one brother passes away. He's leaving this world, one of the three brothers. And he asks one of the other brothers, the one who's passing away, that I'm leaving this world, and when I leave this world, then what will you do with me? So the brother says to him, what will I do with you? You're going, you're dying. So you will go your way, I'll go my way. I have no relationship with you in it. I'm not going to start following you when you die. I'm not going to do anything to you. What can I do for you? He said, you'll die, you'll pass away, you'll go to your place and I'll carry on in my dunya, my life, that's it. The Sahaba Ikram, they heard this. So this was one brother. So what do you say about this? That if you have a brother, what will you do? They said, Ya Rasulullah, this very disrespectful brother. That for example, we don't even say salam dua to that person, he is a selfish and a person of no care. We will have kept no connection with such a person who doesn't care. Okay. Then the other brother, he asked the same question to the other brother. That I am dying, I'm passing away, I'm going to depart. What will you do for me? So he replied, the other brother, that I love you, I have regard for you. At the time of your death, I will stand by your side. I'll be at your side, at your service. I'll do dua for you at that time. I'll pray for you and I'll be sad at that time. When you'll be dying, when you die, then I will give you ghusl and bathe you, and I will put the shroud around your body. I will be involved in your janazah and the salatul janazah. I will walk with your funeral procession. I'll put my shoulder underneath your coffin. I'll go to your grave and I will lower you into the grave. And when I lower you into the grave, then I'll seal the grave. I'll put the soil onto the grave. The brother said, I'll leave you there. But after that, what can I do for you? Everybody will be coming back. I'll also come back with them. I'll leave your grave. He asked, what do you think about this person? The Prophet asked, the Sahaba Ikram said, Ya Rasulullah, he's better than the first one. That the first brother of ours, that he's at least better than him. Obviously, that we'll keep some friendship with him and love with this person, such a brother. We'll keep a relationship with him. The Nabi SAW said, okay. And the third brother, that what will you do? He said, me? That I'll do all of these actions, what he has just said. Salatul Janazah, at the time of death I'll be stood by his side, and I will also help him even during his death. When his final breath will be drawn, even at that time I'll help him with full ability. And these people will come back from his grave. I won't come back from his grave. I'll go into his grave and I'll save him. Subhanallah. I cannot leave him, my brother. I'll go into his grave, I'll save him in his grave, and I'll be with him. And not just this, when, for example, he's wakes up on the day of resurrection, when he wakes up, I'll be with him And on the day of resurrection, and on the plane of resurrection, and across the bridge of Sirat, I will assist him. I will take him across, and all challenges, I will give him the water, the pond of Kawthar. To this extent, as long as he doesn't go into paradise, I will not leave you. Allahu Akbar, say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. He said, tell me about this person, Ya Rasulullah. He, the first two are totally gone. We cannot leave this third person. We will keep strong friendship. What relationship will you have with this third person? Very strong relationship. It will be like our savior. That in no way can we leave this third brother, this third person. And everything we will do with him and stay with him, and strong relationship we'll keep with him. The Prophet said, fine. And Rasulullah, Allah's Prophet said, I'll give you an example. Come, let me tell you the reality now. Subhanallah. He said that the first brother I presented to you as an example, that he was your mal, your wealth, money in this world that tricks you. Your money, your wealth, that you consider is your own. And you hold it dear and beloved like that first brother. And when the time comes of death, then first and foremost, just like the first brother, this mal will betray you. This money will betray you. That time when a person is about to die, first and foremost, the betrayal is from what? Is insan's wealth, his money. And most of all in the world, money keeps you occupied and busy and negligent from the time of death, the wealth and money. All life long, a person gives his life for money. And first and foremost, at the time of death, his mal is taken out from his body. His clothes are taken off his body. His wealth, not just this, rather, the people of the world see this, that same money that he gave his whole life and he held it dear and beloved, that mal he earned, haram, halal, traveling, this and that, going far, wife, children far away, he sacrificed everything for money. And his pocket was full and death came. That mal is a waste of that time. Immediately is taken out of his pocket. The people who are taken out of his pocket, the money, are his enemies. And this has been seen by people. Today 99% you'll see people at the time of death, after death, when hukuk, when warasat, inheritance is distributed. Today is such falsehood and lying people do. When the sisters, they never give their money to the sisters. Their people kill and murder. There's fighting. The warasat, the inheritance, is not given to the sisters or the relatives. It's snatched away from them. Such a big adab. The person forgets everything, that tomorrow you're going to die as well. To this extent, if the mother's died, I'm telling you the truth there. First and foremost, they're taking off her earrings, the gold. They take her ring off her finger. His own mother. If a person's dying, first and foremost, oh look, in his bank, where was his bank accounts? Where are his debit cards? Yar, oh, how will we take his money out of his account? Where was the house? Whose name was it on? Suddenly they start worried. Oh, was this house in his name? Allah's Nabi, what a beautiful lesson and teaching. And some said that you should say, be gone with this man. We don't need him if he's not friend at the time of death. So you've testified this, that never in this dunya, never love the mal, the wealth, which is similar to the first brother. Say Subhanallah. See, in this, that the biggest philosopher in the world cannot teach you this learning, how in the mu'min's heart Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has created the dislike for wealth. It's a dangerous thing. Reality, the time of death, the biggest deception will be given to you by this friend of wealth. Because when you go to the grave, mal doesn't go with you. Money doesn't go with you. At the time of death, after death, there's no money. Rather, after you, they're fighting over your money. It's been distributed, those things that you kept. People are taking them away from you. Yes, whatever you made for yourself and thought were your assets, people are picking those things up and taking them away from your house, from in front of you. My Hazrat Sahib used to say that this clothes and your watch, they're not yours. First and foremost, your clothes would really take his clothes off. Take his clothes off, take his kameez off, take his watch off. Take everything away from God. You have to give him ghusl, quickly. What you thought was yours all your life long, even your vest isn't yours after your death. Allahu Akbar. What a big negligence. Mine, nothing is mine. That for the mal, for the money, so much we leave the things for wealth in this world. All of this is dunya and deception. Either it was to be beneficial to us and go with us, or we said ourselves, we don't want such a brother who leaves us at the time of death. This is the wealth, we should dislike it. The second brother example that Rasulullah gave to us, that your brother said that at the time of death I'll be with you and I'll help you. Rasulullah said, these are your colleagues and relatives, relations. Who in the world this happens? They come on, uncle, auntie, sister, brother, everyone after death. They go with you, don't they? Of course, they assist you. Most of all, they go to your grave. They don't go into your grave with you, do they? No, they don't. So it doesn't matter how much relationship you have and strength of bond you have, but inside they're not benefiting you. So they're just showing you that they're with you, I'm your brother, sister, etc. But what benefit are they given to you after death? And for them, what did you do? For them, what did you do? Totally, that for example, we have been given rights, mother, children, wife. There are many rights of the wife, of the children. And these rights we cannot turn away from. But what you have to say is, I can only give you that right, the amount that I can do with my halal and lawful earnings and give to you. Subhanallah. For that, you should not commit theft or steal or deception or lie or commit or consume interest and riba or consume haram. We say, oh, it's for the children. I'm making this house for my children. That's why I took interest and I'm lying for this reason. I want to teach my children. I want to get my children wed and their marriages. I want to do hajj for my mother. That's why I'm doing this. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Who told you to do these things based on haram? Because all of these actions you're doing for them. They'll say, he did this, I didn't tell him to do this. When did you tell us to feed us haram? When did we tell you to feed us haram? When did we tell you to leave salah for this? When did we tell you? They'll leave you, betray you, totally not. So second lesson for a moment is be careful. Definitely fulfill the rights of the relative to that extent, the amount you can afford based on halal, lawful earnings. Oh, but my son, he's done this, their sons have got this, they've got that. What kind of father are you? You didn't serve your children. They say, he and he did this, whatever money he has. But I can only do what Sharia allows me, Islamic law, to fulfill your rights. This is how much money I've got, and this is how much I can spend on you with my heart and efforts. And you should be patient and persevere. And those children become like that, alhamdulillah, that they become content and happy that my father is honest and upright. And the nur develops inside those children. And the desire for wrong ends in those children rather than they stand with the father that what a good father I have who has fed me halal and brought me up, subhanallah. And then Allah's help comes to those people and barakat come to those children. Not that Allah Ta'ala takes them away, makes them devoid. Allah's test comes to those people. Just to test them and challenge them, Allah Ta'ala gives them less. That when we succeed, we embrace the sacrifice to a certain extent, Allah Ta'ala says, now I'll open the doors for you, subhanallah. And you've passed the test, Allah says. For me, you have stopped haram, ceased haram. So it's stated that these relatives and friends and colleagues will go with you, travel with you till the grave in your life. But after the grave, they will not journey with you. They will not travel with you. So all of this is a waste. So they say to you, oh, no, we don't want to be his friend. So what we should do, Rasulullah has given us what message now? That the second friend, how much a bond should you have with it? The amount that the Sharia has allowed you to fulfill the rights based on goodness. Say subhanallah. Look how easy is Islam. How light a man becomes. Say, if you think for a moment. That how light it makes us become. Otherwise there's so many burdens. Oh, I haven't bought a house. What will my son say to me? I haven't done this for him and that for him. When this comes, immediately when a person realizes he can fulfill the rights based on goodness, Allah has not given me responsibility for these things. I have no need to run after these things. Allah has given me. Allah will fulfill my needs through another mode. Subhanallah. Okay? And the third factor, the third learning, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allahu Akbar. That what did he say? That I will go with him into his grave. At the time of death I'm with him. I'll go into his grave with him after death. On the day of resurrection I'll be with him. On the bridge of Sarat I'll be with him. Until he doesn't go into Jannah, until I don't take him into Jannah, I say goodbye. I cannot say farewell to my friend. Allah's Nabi said, which brother was that of yours? The example I gave to you. What was that factor? That is your. That is that same amal I'm telling you about which I'm speaking today with you. Subhanallah. Amal nahi. I'm talking about that action that Allah Ta'ala has promised in the Quran. Allah says, Allati kuntum tu'adun. Allah says, I promised to you and I will fulfill that promise. After fulfilling the promise, I'll say that my promise today has been fulfilled. Allah says, this is the day that I promised my fulfill my promise to you. Allah always shows his promise to be real. Not that Allah promises and doesn't make it become real. No, it cannot be. So brothers, will we do that deed that will give us that result? Yes, this is the amal. The action. This is the real preparation. If we embrace this action, that will be with us all the way through every phase. Grave time. Look, your brother He will be with you. The severest time that will come from you. I mean, we're sat here with these now, and but those people is come upon, and those who that will get this time, and we are included in that. Severity of death just takes a second. What's happened? Oh, he sneezed, he got ill, and now it's very easy. Now you stop breathing, oh, he's gone to hospital, and you go to hospital in the evening, the phone call comes, you know the time has passed, he's passed away. It's very easy now to pass away. So simple, isn't it? Yeah, there's no excuse for death now. Person's playing and he's living, then he goes to hospital and then he comes back packed, sealed. And then we are carrying on our shoulders the story now at the moment. In the world, the trend has changed in the world now. The balance of life has changed. Look now at this moment in time, look Allah's hikmah and wisdom and style. That such adab Allah Ta'ala gives to the people. This is adab at this moment in time that Allah Ta'ala has given to the people, the human beings. It's ajib, unique adab. Unique punishment has given that every person at this moment in time is not satisfied. Everyone you see him on his tongue, ooh, this has happened. Have you taken the injection? Have you had the jab? Have you had two jabs? Have you had two injections? What's happening at the moment? What's the data showing? Which variant's coming now? Which virus is coming now? What's the new law? Every day a new law, a new measure from the government. How should you travel? How should you do this? You don't know today if you're traveling, will you be able to return back tomorrow or not? Restrictions? Is this not the case? Such a lack of conviction today. We have no certainty. We never had this before. This is ajeeb from Allah. Ajeeb adab that Allah Ta'ala has given. You cannot make your choices. You can't do. Walk around, cover your faces, do this. And we have to accept. Whoever doesn't accept, then they are those people that, for example, they'll say the moon is out. Oh, the moon's not out. Sun's out. Sun's not out. By them not accepting, doesn't make any difference. If Allah Ta'ala has revealed something, it's present. It's a reality. Similarly, azab is there. Allah Ta'ala's azab has come in different colors. And you can keep giving it different names. Azab is one. One punishment given. Corona, variant, delta, this variant. Whatever variant, whatever name you want to attach to it. You can change the names, but the azab is one. One denominator. No injection, no solution. One injection that the people of Yaman have. That is true tawbah, repentance. That's the solution. No injection will help. If today the whole ummah, the whole Musliman ummah, bows towards the Kaaba that Allah Ta'ala has closed. You can stand. Today we still have an opportunity. Allah Ta'ala says, your opportunity is always there, but who will allow us to do this? Shaitan's made us lazy. No, this is a disease. Someone says it's here, someone says it's not there, someone says I believe in it, someone says I don't believe in it, your iman's weak, why do you wear this, why do you cover yourself, this is all rubbish talk. The reality is one factor, Allah has given the azab, fact. Yes, either through human beings, again, we can't say that this disease, they did this, or this country started. Allah knows best which country it came through, which people it came through. Maybe it came through it, maybe through these people, Allah says, let's bring the azab out. If the Allah Ta'ala maybe gave them akal, Allah Ta'ala gave them the tariqah, the method, that Allah gave them the understanding that this is how you should start to kill people, or give the disease. There's no debate, it's come from this country, they've got a trick, there's a game here, there's a game plan here. We have no concern with this. We are concerned with Allah wa Rabb. Allah, whatever happens is with your decision and wisdom. We don't need to look into the background. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, don't waste time whether you agree or not, but the fakir, this fakir says these facts. Forget the sickness, they'll keep on changing the names, the variants, the disease, and fear will continue to spread. And most fear will come to that person who will have the most iman. Why? Because he knows Allah is unhappy. And what will happen to us, to me, even now brother was saying, in Pakistan earthquakes come 4.6 on the Richter scale. 4.6 is a high measurement on the Richter scale in Karachi. Tell me, what is all these? These are sudden jolts and shakes. Allah's Nabi some taught us that even if a fast wind would blow, or if the clouds would suddenly come together, Rasulullah would get afraid at that time and go into sajda. Even today, the people of Iman should be in the same condition, that we should be afraid, not due to the disease, but we should be afraid, Allah, this is your azab. What will be our hal? What will happen to us? How? What situation will be in? Will we rise up with iman? But nobody cares. Take an injection. Have you had the booster? Have you had the jab? Have you had the biggest injection we should take is what? Which is tawbah. That's the greatest injection. And then have no worries at all. Doesn't matter what disease comes out, what name, what variant. Inshallah, when you have the injection of tawbah, then your khawf will disappear from your life. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. This is the case, isn't it? So this is the point. Allah Nabi Sallam taught us that amal, that action that the Quran has mentioned, is such a great action that Allah Ta'ala announces this action. That if you do this amal, this action, then what is the result? First, tanazzulul malaikati, Allah says, the time of death, which is the most severe time for a human being, like Rasulullah said, the brother will come, and your brother, this brother will say, I'll be with you. Allah Ta'ala says, when the time of death comes, the person who does this action, tanazzulul malaikati, that the angels will descend to that person at the time of his death. And what a great assistance when Allah has done dua for the time of death. Sakaratul maut, Allah help me at the time of death. When maut, sakaratul marat, a severe time for a mu'min is the time of death. At the time of death, it will come to me and you, for sure. So for solution, saving from the severity of death, we do this amal, this action, if we practice this action through this action, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the heavens sends the angels to the believer at the time of death. At that time, when he is passing through the hard time of death, which a person cannot imagine the pain, the severity, the hardship at the time of death for a human being. And he cannot even say, he cannot even share the pain or difficulty with anyone. Only he knows, because he's leaving this world at that time. We can only see him, but he cannot say from his lips the death, the severity of death. There was a pious elder. And he writes, Hazrat Abu Dawood, he said, I was severely ill. And this is an event that happened in this world that I'm sharing with you. And how the angels descend at the time of death. And he sees this. We cannot see this. The person who is dying, he knows this. He can see this. So he's severely ill. He said, I was severely ill. So ill that I could not get up from my bed. He said, what did I see? That a very ugly human being. And he was so ugly, tall and strong. And he had a stick in his hand. And he was stood in front of me. Ugly and big, powerful, ugly face. And I said, Allah, I'm a mu'min, I'm a Muslim, I'm a believer. This ugly figure, the angels come for the believer to take his life. If he's come to take my life, Allah, he takes the life of the disbelievers, the kufr. How has he come to take my life, this ugly figure? My mouth should not be like this. It should be the life of death of a mu'min, I'm a Muslim. So he saw, he said, I was speaking to myself, and he said, that the house of my ceiling broke. And this is what happens. The time of death of a human being, he sees these things. He said, my ceiling caved in. He sees these things at the time of death. Remember, this is preparation for death is being taught to us. He said, my ceiling broke. And the ceiling broke. And after that, two angels descended. And one came to the pillow and one came to the feet side. And that ugly figure, he stepped back. He stepped back. And that stick, the staff, whatever he had in his hand. And the angels, they stared at him. Then he went back further. And then they told him off, get back. And he went back further. And then he said, they came towards me. The angels, he was in the condition of death. The time of death. And the angel near his pillow, the angel. And one was at his feet. So the one at the feet said to the one at the pillow, that touch him from the head. And touch him near the feet. And so the angel one at the pillow said, touch him near the feet. So he touched his feet, the angel. And he said that doesn't look like there's anything happening here. His feet have not helped him. In other words, never did he pray salah, never did he go to salah, never did he stand and do ibadah, never did he stand and remember Allah. He didn't do any actions with his legs, his feet, nor did he go towards salah. He didn't move with his legs. He didn't do ibadah. There's nothing showing from his legs, his feet. Then he said, now go towards the head and look. He said to the angel next to the head, touch him. Is there anything there? The angel near the head opened his mouth. Opened his mouth. He said, Subhanallah. As soon as he opened the mouth, he said, ooh, beautiful fragrance came out and spread across the room. And the angel said, what's this? The first angel near the feet. He said, this is the same amal about which I'm speaking to you today. And Allah's Nabi Sallam has prescribed to us. That same action. He said that this is his fragrance coming out of his mouth of the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah. The dhikr that he did through his life, the fragrance has spread across the room. So then he said that he is successful. He's successful. both met together, they said that he's successful, and that ugly disbeliever, then they told him off and pushed him and he disappeared. In the same way, another event, Ibn Qalaba radiallahu anhu narrates this. This is a Sahabi. He said that my nephew, and I was unhappy with him, he wasn't good, he didn't do good actions, and I realized that he's at the time of death, he's about to pass away. So I said, okay, I'll go to him, I'll see him. And obviously he was my brother's son. He said, when I went there, he was at the time of death, the time of Nazan. The scene was unique. He was a Sahabi. Allah Ta'ala showed him the scene. The Sahabi, his nephew was dying. He saw that two very ugly figures were there, stood there. Ugly figures. And he saw the two angels, they descended from the heavens. And one went to the pillow and one went to the feet. One went to the head and one went to the feet. Same way, just that event I told you in the beginning, that the angel near the head that he touched, the first example he touched, in this second story he smells. In the first story, the first event, the angel touched. This second angel, he smelt his head, then his stomach, then his feet and his hands. He smelt everything, and there's no Quran, there's nothing inside this person. I smelt his stomach. He said, there's nothing halal I can see in his stomach. There's nothing inside him. He's devoid of goodness. He touched, smelt his feet. He said, there's no ibadah from his legs. He's devoid. He said, okay, let me see, said the other angel. He said, when I went, opened his mouth, after opening his mouth, from his tongue, I squeezed his tongue. These are the words. I squeezed his tongue. When I squeezed it, with a fresh essence came. He said, Allahu Akbar. He said, what do I see? He said, I have seen that from this tongue, when I squeezed it, from this, the dhikr of Allah, it was fresh with the dhikr of Allah. And that fragrance came out, and the whole room was fragrant due to that smell of that dhikr. And this amal is that amal, that action, about which Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that it will go to your grave and to the day of resurrection, this action will go with you. These are the things, two examples we've just heard. What was the amal that the Quran prescribes? That the angels descend, and with the amal, the angels descend with this amal when a person's about to die at the time of death. And the second good news Allah Ta'ala gives, Allah says, that no fear at the time of death. The person who does this amal, he has no grief, no sorrow, and no concern, no fear. In other words, he leaves in this way, that the angels come, they give him satisfaction, they encourage him. The brother, don't worry, you're the figure of the dunya, the world, you've now come to that place, that you have no need to worry or concern yourself. That there are so many worries in the world, every second, bundles of fikr and concern with us. And they said, you have nothing to fear, nothing to worry about, no need, no concern. You have no grief, no sorrow. Now, abshuru bil jannah. Now the good news for paradise is with you. These three, after this amal, Allah's Nabi Sallam gave good news. What is the amal? قَالُوا رَبُّنَا رَبُّنَا لَثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُ Allahu Akbar. That person, that human being, who Allah Ta'ala, if he's given the tawfiq ability to a human being to do a good action, like salah, or the dhikr of Allah, or Quran, any pious, righteous deed, if Allah Ta'ala gives you the ability to perform that, if the amal we make it worthy, that the time of death, it is useful to us, just like Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that such a brother who will go with you, always will be with you, and to make the amal in such a quality level, then we have to be steadfast on that deed. Steadfast. This is the main thing. Not this, that we start an action and after a while you leave it. You start an amal, then you leave it. Do a U-turn. No, that deed will not be beneficial for you. And thereafter, it will not give you benefit. The amal will be beneficial. The action, the whole hadith, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned, that brother will give you success and take you towards success until success. That amal that you did always consistently. Yes? If Allah has given you tawfiq, a human being, to do an amal, Allah gives you tawfiq to do dhikr, to do tawbah, you've got connection with a sheikh, he gives you the ability to say something good, to do something. Don't think it's just for today or tomorrow till the day after, you can change according to your desires. No. If Allah has given you tawfiq, then that tawfiq, we need to practice it regularly, consistently. Hazrat Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi, my Hazrat Sheikh shared one of Hazrat Gangohi's events with us. Incident: people think that the Wali Allah, the friend of Allah, he becomes like this due to wazifas or prayers or dhikr or kaseer, Quran or ibadah. This is not what makes a person Wali Allah. Wali of Allah is made through regularity, consistency of actions. Whoever is steadfast on his actions, you see, in life, a person, human being, definitely, Allah gives an opportunity to every human being to do this. Definitely, Allah gives you an opportunity that He sends you to good company, or He shows you something that pierces your heart, and you like it, and you start practicing. But if you are not steadfast and regular, then you waste those deeds. Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, he taught us this point, and he wrote an event that one companion in the night would wake up, and what did he do? And he left waking up in the night. When he stopped waking up in the night, then Allah's Nabi Sallam, he disliked that fact because he left the regularity and steadfastness. So when a person is practicing, then he leaves the track, or does a U-turn, leaves the action, and he starts playing games, then what he's doing is that Allah and His Rasul salam are extremely upset with that. When we pester Allah and His Rasul and they are disappointed, then what will be the hal of that individual? We think it's a minor thing, leaving the practice, we start praying tahajjud, then we leave it. In the same way, the pious servants of Allah, never to their marids, their students, do they give too many actions. The student says, I want to start nafal and worship and fasting and talabat. But we, just like in the company of my teacher, and I sat with the wali Allah and learned, never will the shaykh throw a bundle of action on you because he knows that he doesn't have that capacity, doesn't have the strength. He's saying it out of passion, please let me fast and nafal fast and this and that. Now slowly the shaykh will give. The shaykh will say that you need to be, whatever small you do, amount you do, but be regular. The emphasis is not on quantity, it's on quality and steadfast regularity, because the shaykh knows the student will be successful in pleasing Allah. There's only one way, one method of preparing. Let me tell you this, so you understand. To please Allah for the hereafter and maut and success, there's only one preparation. If we want to die, that the angels descend at the time of our death. They help us and they announce our death, that no need to fear, no grief, no sorrow, and good news for Jannah. If we desire this, then ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُ, one action, steadfastness on all of your actions. Be regular. This is the message. This is the message. Not this, that how much tilawah do you do, how much do you recite, so much quantity. This is not the case in Islam. Rather, what? Allah looks at the quality, and how do you attain quality? Steadfast. You can't do this on your own, because you don't know. When you go to a teacher, a sheikh, a master, he will embark you on the journey. He will show you and illustrate to you the journey. And successful is that individual student. Allah's taken you to his wali, the teacher. It's not necessary that you find the sheikh in Hindustan, Indian subcontinent. Allah is not restricted to continents of the world. Allah says, how do you know where you're going to die? How do you know where your rizq is going to be given to you? That I'll deliver you there. So how do you know that where I will give you a teacher, a sheikh, a guide, a master? And listen, you don't know. You don't know where that sheikh will be geographically. If you think, no, I'm from the Indian subcontinent, my sheikh needs to be there. No, totally not at all. In any city I can, in Glasgow, you may meet him in London or another city, or in Pakistan or in the Middle East or in Arab countries or Indian subcontinent. In my hand, in Africa, from such villages people took bayah and did tawbah in my hands. I could not imagine those localities. Yes, I think sometimes I look back that I was here in Africa, in this city, in Zimbabwe, in this village I was sat, the time of night I was sat there, and the villagers and such makhlouks, they didn't have clothes to wear, they were so poor. And in front of me, they came to learn dhikr of Allah from me, and I was making their hearts alive with dhikrullah. Amazing past. This is Allah's hikmah, they'll be dhakir today. How many people will have died Naqshbandi from that country and village? I don't even know. I don't know. They're in the corners of the dunya Allah Ta'ala sent me. I'm lying down in Africa now. Go back to the example of Africa. I'm telling you for this reason, that we don't know where mouth or death come. Where will we get rizq and earnings and money? Where will I get a sheikh? I don't know. Because mouth and life, these are facts and important. And most important is preparation of death. And preparation of death, the most important role is that Allah gives you His wali as a sheikh, as a guide, as a master to guide you. We should appreciate them. Without this, there's no success. Sahaba would not be Sahaba without Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Impossible. So today you cannot be a mu'min unless you don't accept a mu'min as your guide. But we don't understand this topic of guide and teacher. So wherever you get the teacher, then super glue yourself to him. Attach yourself to him. That's it. And first lesson, whoever is a Kamil Sheikh, a real Sheikh, the first lesson the Sheikh will give to you is be steadfast in your deeds. He leaves you, the lesson ends at that time. He says, I'll give you some lessons. Be regular from thousands. Until today, from hundreds of thousands, maybe one person is successful in this. They come with yearning, they do tawbah, they learn dhikr, and they take the effect in the color, but then slowly, 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 they go back and back and back and weak, and then you hear, they've left. Oh, I do when I get a chance. What a big wrong and ungratefulness. Tell me, what will be the hal of their death? The whole Quran is teaching a thum istaqamu, you'll be successful based on istaqamat. The message Allah has given in the Quran. That if you, individual, qalu rabbuna, that if you've been given a guide and he's taught you things and principles and you say, okay Allah, I've attached myself to you. The second thing that's been told you, thum istaqamu. Whatever you're taught, the amal, you'll be valuing it at that time when you are regular and steadfast in practicing it consistently. So this thing, grab hold of it, pay attention. So now when you get a complete Kamil Sheikh as your teacher, and the Khanqah environment, I'm telling you now, in the environment of the Khanqah, the first thing you're told to practice is this istiqamah should come into your life. Regularity. Yes, whatever you're taught, you won't be given high levels, high through money or wealth or through your ilm or knowledge or your ulum. Nothing is the Shaykh impressed about. Never does he give you ijazah, go and do the work of the deen. Never will he give you ijazah. Never. At that time, maybe the Shaykh will give ijazah, permission to the student, when in his heart, the ilham, the inspiration comes, that mukammal totally, he is regular and steadfast. So much steadfast is he, that when he speaks to the next person, then steadfastness will come into that person as well. That it's not about teaching dhikr. First and foremost, the Shaykh prepares the student totally, totally, that he's regular and steadfast. It's not a minor thing. It's not a minor thing that, for example, when you go to a Shaykh to get ijazah, permission from a great Shaykh, it's not a minor thing. Maybe they'll say, go and sit with this person, do dhikr. This doesn't mean that he's giving you tarbiyah, he's rectifying you, improving you, a real Shaykh, a teacher. It's not ijazah if he says you go there and sit here, or you go and visit. He will give you the ijazah in writing, and he signs that this is your khalafa, you're my deputy. Khalafa is a very big thing, a massive. And this is just a regular common thing, you're qabil and you're capable. Why do they give that? So that when you sit with four or five people, do dhikr with them and teach them, explain to them, this is given to you that reason, so that your iman can become strong as well at that time, so that your time is not wasted. That's the way the Shaykh gives tarbiyah, that he can explain to you the depth of that. This is unexplainable, cannot be explained. That some, Allah knows when the ilham comes on the heart of the Shaykh, that he gives the ability to his student to teach others. But the biggest quality the Shaykh looks at the student is how much istiqamat has he got in his practice. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. So brothers, this is a gathering for this purpose that I speak. I'm not wasting your time. Very valuable points I'm giving to you. Precious points. That for normal people, these words I'm saying are dry. They're stories they're listening for. And I am giving you haq and truth about the hereafter. Yes? If we want that the angels come to us at the time of death, and we get the good news of paradise, and that the there's no grief or sorrow for us at death, and the announcement was made, Allah says, if you want this, then do one action. What? ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. The deen I've given to you, the tawfiq, you have to do any action, then stick yourself to the action. Subhanallah. Will you do this, brothers? But nobody comes in the morning to dhikr. Tell me. Why? I've heard about it, dhikr, dashmat thawab, thawab. Sometimes I get the thawab, sometimes I leave it. No answer. As in Gangohi Ramadan, I told you his statement. Nobody became a wali due to doing quantity. Once if you go to a teacher, you take his hand, and he'll tell you one wazifa he gives to you, that's it. And you grab that, and you stick to that. That one wazifa, with that wazifa, inshallah, ilham will come to you. And you'll be regular and steadfast. Steadfast. And beyond this, a beautiful thing I'm telling you, tarbiyah, based on tarbiyah. Listen to me attentively, what I'm saying. Listen to me attentively, for you it's very valuable and beneficial. If you want tarbiyah to be rectified through this verse of the Quran, if you want at the time of death, ease and success, then I'm telling you for this reason. Every Shaykh has his own style. Every teacher has his own style. He has a responsibility to rectify and improve his students, obviously. Every Sheikh. Some Sheikh, he isn't for giving and taking and borrowing. No hisab of the dunya. Nothing at all. But But Allah's makhluk comes without him calling. Allah sends the student. When a student comes to a sheikh, then me, Hazrat Sahib sent me on my own here. There was nobody with me, was there, in the beginning? No, I said to Hazrat, nobody knows me there. He said, so many people will be aware of you that the whole world will be accustomed to you and will get to know you. I laughed. I thought, what's this? That even in TV, people know your name will come on the TV, in the papers, your name will be advertised, and the people in the world will know and see who you are. You'll have seen such waqiyats and events happen with me. Allah's walis, this was his statement and occurred. I said, how can I go and explain to people? He said, you don't need to worry about this. He said, why are you worried about this? The Ali Murtaza is behind you, his support. He's instructing you. This is the tarbiyah of the Kamil Sheikh. Say subhanallah. This is the tarbiyah. I said, is it? All actions you have to do, my sheikh instructed me. I said, what are those actions? He said, remember, you have to give bayan, you have to lead Jummah, you have to give speeches. I said, me? He said, yes, you have to do tafsir of Quran. Subhanallah. I was amazed. Shocked like a person seeing a dream. I was a highly educated, worldly person, degrees, doctorates, and my hal is different, my lifestyle is different. I said, is it? I have to do this. I said, shall I go? He said, yes, go. Everything you have to do. I said, okay, fine, alhamdulillah. Look here. What is this? The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the Nazul Malaikatu, this tafsir, the Mushaikh Kiram that they give. This is tarbiyah. Remember, I'm giving you tarbiyah here. To rectify you, forgive me, I'm not differentiating. Are there alims here, muftis here, scholars here? At this moment in time, the words I'm sharing with you are for each individual in a different style. Forgive me. I'm speaking in a depth and detail which is not normal. Another tafsir, the Nazulul Malaika, because Shaitan also descends at the time of death, isn't it? Shaitan comes, he does waswasa and injects and whispers into a person's ear. In the same way, another point extracted here. What is that? The Nazulul Malaika, that what we realize here is that when a person is istiqama, then he goes on the journey of steadfastness and he is regular and consistent on an action and his life becomes steadfast on the amal and big challenges and tests come up and down, he doesn't leave the deen. Such a time comes that the ilham of the angels comes to him as well. And those feelings and emotions give him peace and contentment. And through difficulties and problems and challenges, all ups and downs, he gets guidance from Allah. And when hundreds of thousands of murids, he has students, then from the angels, ilham comes into his heart, through which he guides the students. He accepts them and he guides those students. Subhanallah. So many words that the Mashayikh Ikram say, the Walis of Allah say, they are due to ilham, divine inspiration. This is a point I'm telling you. Remember this. What are they? Divine inspiration comes to the Shaykh. He doesn't know, my student, what is he? How should I guide him? A system. The system Allah Ta'ala has made, that when a student, when you go to your Shaykh, to those people, I'm saying, who are genuine and sincere, who come to the Shaykh with sincerity, not to waste time, oh let's go sawab and this and that. No, those people I'm talking about, sincere students who thumma istaqam, who want to be steadfast, the desire that we want the angels to come to us when we die. About those students I'm talking. Those students, big message Allah Ta'ala is giving, big message. Rabbuna thumma istaqam wa tanazzalul malaikata. Allah has given a big message to us today. Allah says that no fear, no grief, no sorrow. This is the Quran. Alladhi kuntum tu'adun. Allah says that then the hereafter I'll tell you that have I fulfilled my promise to you or not? Did I not say to you to adopt istiqamah? Look now, Jannah is waiting for you here, ready for you. This is the reply. This is the ayah, the Quran verse. So the sheikh, the teacher, he prepares the student, improves the student, gives tarbiyah, that this verse of the Quran needs to come to my murid, tarbiyah. Then ilham, inspiration, in every generation and era, the Allah Ta'ala gives inspiration. You see, Chishtiya, Qadiriya, Sorwardi, Naqshbandi, different methods, the different manner and the method and style changes. Now I'll explain to you. According to the generation and era, the method changes. One sheikh needs to give tarbiyah in America, one in Germany, another sheikh in Saudi Arabia. So his style, due to ilham Allah will put into his heart, will be different, but he'll do the same tarbiyah of the student. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُ. I need to bring my student towards istiqamah, bring him onto Sharia. But his style and manner and method will be different. How shall I bring the student towards istiqamah? So when he utilizes the tariqah Allah inspires him to, then don't compare, in India the sheikh does this, in this country sheikh. No, when you are sat in front of your teacher that Allah Ta'ala sent you to, then look at your teacher. In which method and manner and style is he steering you? And you should agree to that, embrace that, and practice that. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Do you understand what I'm saying? So in this way, due to this explanation I'm giving to you, under this understanding, an understanding has arrived to us. And what is that? The sheet system that I've given to you, the Tawbah sheet system. Say Subhanallah. Now the sheet system that we have got, what is this? ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. It will teach you consistency, regularity, steadfastness. And I guarantee to you, Allah's wali, my Shaykh, Hazrat Shaykh Ali Murtaza, with his permission, I say this statement. This is a guarantee that comes from him. Whoever adopts and embraces this sheet system, inshallah, he will depart the world with istiqamat in his destiny. For sure. But shaitan and nafs are present. And when shaitan and nafs come, when this system is given to you to fill the sheets, complete the sheets, very few people are regular in the sheet system. And very few are sincere in complete. Some people are doing it. Alhamdulillah. And then their mouth will be a unique mouth. And death, even today in our halka, one young woman passed away. And until her last moments, I had a connection with her. Just a few moments before her death, her message used to come to me. That girl, that young female, sister, she was ill for a while, she had cancer. And subhanAllah, such a woman, I am shocked and surprised in this day. Young woman, she's left 3 children. And today, on the day of Thursday, she passed away. And our last message, when she was departing from this world, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا was in her life. What is istiqamah, steadfastness in life? And such pain she had in her death. And such death. Every single day the message I have present. And what tawakkal and reliance in Allah. A man cannot imagine. And how much bravery and courage and determination she embraced death, that young girl, the woman. Today, I pray that 10 a.m. she passed away, the Thursday night when it started. Allah Ta'ala gave her all the moments, the great moments. Why? Because I saw myself, her life, how many years she was ill. Do you know cancer? The patient of cancer is very severe, it's painful, distress, difficulties, conditions that befell her, but from her tongue, always dhikr of Allah was there. The gratefulness to Allah was there. So much love that not one moment passed in her life that she's not telling me in the same way every day. The Hazrat, this has happened. Hazrat, this has happened. This is my hal. Finished. This is gone. But subhanAllah. My brothers, this path, istiqamat, steadfastness, regularity. If we want in our akhirah to improve our hereafter, it won't happen through chit-chat, gossiping. This is a serious era we're living in. Be awake, alert, shaitan and nafs. Save yourself from their traps. You will get nothing. Rasulullah said, no brother will assist. No mal, no wealth will help you. No the dunya, the wealth of the world. What will benefit you is istiqamah, the regularity, steadfastness and amal. Those deeds in which you are regular and steadfast. Regular and steadfast. And the two types of death I've mentioned to you today. What's the difference between the two? The dhikr of Allah has come with regards to the hereafter. If dhikr is with us and we are regular, that such good news Allah Ta'ala has given and Rasulullah has given to us about dhikr of Allah. So to establish steadfastness, this sheet system was introduced to us. So today, no other sheikh has this system. That people are surprised, what's this sheet system you're following and tracking system? Well, it's a fantastic method. Do this and inshallah in your life will come steadfastness and regularity, consistency. But follow that manner and method that sheikh prescribes to you. What do? We do the sheets, we send them. We give the feedback. Many people don't even have yaqeen. They have bayah, they get dhikr. And I tell you, they're in deception. If you do not follow the manner and method and prescription of your shaykh and follow his guidance, you can never get to your destination. Never. Have 100% yaqeen in the system of your teacher and his guidance and manners and method. Full aqeedah, full belief, 100% love, 100% service. 4 things my shaykh said. 4 things you should have as a student. Alhamdulillah, then success will kiss your feet. Success will kiss your feet. Shaitan, he detaches you from these 4 things. Oh, you don't need this. Okay, fine, you have no need. Come to tarbiyah. Your shaykh is instructing you. Ilham is guiding your teacher to instruct you. He has no relationship with dunya. I have no business with you. No giving or taking or this and that. I have no relationship with you. But the most important in this world, you are beloved to me, are my students. Because our akhirah is together. That can anyone work so hard for you? That what benefit do I get from your sheets? That 2 a.m, 1:30 a.m, I look at your sheets, and I look at your dhikr, I look at your salah tracking, and I analyze it. Why? Because this is bidhnillah, for Allah's sake. This is from Allah everything. Who am I to fulfill this duty? How dare I, that Allah Ta'ala is, if Allah sends a student to me and I don't serve him, the sheikh is not about sit down, do dhikr, house dhikr, people assemble, gather, and he's a sheikh, a teacher, and they kiss his hands. This isn't the sheikh, the real teacher. Ask him his hal, ask him his situation, the teacher. He's yearning, he's got fikr just like for his children, that my student, I want him to succeed. Yeah, I need him to save himself. But if it's not in your destiny, then what can we do for you? Tell me. Mulana Sharif Ali Thanvi Sabnam, the student came, a person came to say, Hazrat, do dua for me. Do dua, I don't feel like doing dhikr. I try. Please do dua for me so I can have istiqamat in my life. So beautiful reply, Hazrat Thanvi, he was Hakimul Ummat. He said, okay, fine. So you first tell me that shall I do dua first for your food? Because obviously you don't feel like eating, do you? Bread and chapati, how do you eat? He says, no, I eat every day. He says, if you can eat, then why does the dhikr of Allah pinch you? And you didn't ask me to do dua until today for you, for your bread and chapatis, 3 rotis you tear and you eat and consume. I'd rather you eat 6 or more, and you eat, even if you don't have hunger, you eat and you pick up people's pieces of meat and eat that from their plates, you pick it up and you eat it. At that time you don't say, do dua for me to eat. But for zikr you say, do dua for me, I can't do zikr. He said, do dua for me. This is shaitani deception. Dua will not give you success. Dua will only do if you ask someone to do dua for you, that Allah Ta'ala gives you tawfiq, he's taking to a teacher. Now you know, and your teacher, Allah Ta'ala says, do just like your teacher instructs you. This is dua for you. Dua, and that dua is accepted for you the way your dua, your shaykh instructs you. But after that, no, I can't do that, what my shaykh says. Shaitan is then advised, if you want istiqamat, then today in this day and age, to bring istiqamat into your life, the tariqah your shaykh has told you is the sheet system, the tracking system. The Tawbah sheets tracking system. Do it. I told you about this young girl. She died. Yes. Early today. Istaqamat. Look what a death that young girl, that woman. And I'm proud. Envy. That how she'll be free. That she'll be told this message. Why do you fear? You had this concern. The dunya, this medicine, that medicine. Duas went for every single fikr that she used to say. Doctor said this, saying this, saying this. But I'm doing this. Subhanallah. Have you ever seen this? To the last moment of death, and the message she was given to a sheikh. Subhanallah. Look at this. So this is of this era, the waliya, desa, the women, for not necessarily the men are like this, even the women are like this. Subhanallah. She had yaqeen, total, that my sheikh, whatever he has told me, that's where I'll get the reality. And that was it, the end point for her, the point, the angels. That's the same scene for her. So my brothers, don't think this is a drama. This sheet system that we've prescribed, what is this? What's the purpose of it? For istiqama, to generate, develop istiqama, steadfastness in your lives. Come, embrace it. If you are baya and you have learned dhikr, then totally with conviction, believe every footstep, do what your shaykh's instructed, because he's not telling you from his personal gain. He's silent. Until Allah Ta'ala does an order, they give him this tarbiyah, ilham comes, his thoughts come. These are the same thing that instruct him, tell him, guide him. Not this, the wahi's coming, angels are coming. This does not mean this. In his heart, the guidance comes, the shaykh's heart, and he guides the student. The more sincere the student is for the sake of Allah, remember this, the more drama he's got in his life and deception and tricks in his life, doesn't matter how much you hide, Hazrat doesn't know. But Allah Ta'ala knows. Allah Ta'ala knows. So never will Allah Ta'ala allow that student to succeed. He's wasting his time and the Shaykh's time. And Allah's Rasul gave the dalil for this. So this is khalis, pure, sincere path, my brothers. When you go to your teacher, then consider you stood in front of a mirror. A mirror. You stood in front of a mirror. And the mirror, nothing can reveal more than the pit. The mirror does not hide the faults. It doesn't. It shows the faults. Has the mirror ever spoken? No. When you stand in front of the mirror, you speak, Allah, Allah has made me beautiful. I want to be more beautiful. But inside, Allah make me beautiful as well. You have to say that dua, isn't it? When you're in front of the mirror. Isn't it? The mirror has spoken it. The Allah, you've made me so beautiful. Then the angel, the mirror laughs. Yes. Then you have to say, Allah, make me beautiful inside as well. Then the mirror says, now you've understood the reality. Now you understand what a beautiful dua Rasulullah told us. They don't be happy just by looking at the mirror. Oh, I'm beautiful, beautiful beard, and my color's nice and fair. I've got surma on, and I've got imama. Wa subhanallah, I look good. Immediately the answer came in the dua. Then sometimes say this as well, Allah, what's the state of my heart inside? Tell me, Allah, the state. Tell the mirror what's the state inside. Then you go quiet, cold. When you recite the full dua, the next second statement half, then he's ashamed and he goes back from the mirror at that time. when he knows the reality. So become like this, that in front of the mirror, you should not be ashamed. And beautiful on top, and beautiful inside as well. And then the mirror should also testify. So my brothers, the sheet system, adopt it, embrace it, complete it, follow it. This is preparation for ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Be regular. Some people are doing this regularly. But one thing that we play tricks, we should do like the Sheikh said. Sheikh said, how should we do the sheets? Every day, all day long, you need to follow your life according to your sheets. At the night time, the sheets, you have to complete them in the night. Put the marks in the sheets. What do you do after some 3 days, after 2 days, someone's doing it, some did after this many days, after 10 days, I write it down on a piece of paper, then I do it. This is not the method that I have taught you, my brothers. The method will be that way that the Sheikh has prescribed to you, and you cannot make shortcuts in that. Understand this is the Sharia of your Sheikh. If you mix your method in it, then it's bid'ah, innovation. This is bid'ah in tasawwuf. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's very clearly I'm telling you this is bid'ah. Innovation, when you do innovation, will you get thawab? Will you? No. The bid'ah, he says, the mayamal, my deed is very good. I'm remembering Allah, I'm doing this and that. But bid'ah is bid'ah, innovation is innovation. That's why this is innovation that you're doing. You're not completing the sheets in a timely manner. What's the tariqah? Every single day in the night, regularly, daily, when you go, before you go to sleep on your mattress, about the final hour, you said, I didn't backbite today. Today I prayed salah completely. Today I did my dhikr completely. Today I recited Quran. Look, there are 5 points, mashallah, beautiful points. Beautiful. Tahajjud, you have to tick on that. Then after that, salah. In jama'ah congregation, you have to tick, complete the boxes. Subhanallah. Then after that, dhikrullah that you've been prescribed, you need to tick that. After that, that the talawat of the Quran and the majlis attendance, you have to take that. And after that, the sins, that my internal sins, what's the hal of my sins or this sin? Yes, isn't this ilhami teaching? Ilhami teaching. The whole Quran we see in this system. The whole Quran, the hadith of Bukhari we see in this system of the sheets. That person, that the Sheikh totally every day, morning and evening, how many verses of the Quran are testifying to this sheet system? Alhamdulillah. What a beautiful manner and method and guidance system. Every day the Quran says that you should analyze your lives and reflect upon yourself. What's that verse? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah. It's not in my mind at the moment. So that verse is prescribed to us that you need to analyze yourself daily. So this is the tariqah of muhasabah. So where does this come from? Yes, so Shaykh didn't make it himself. I told you, isn't it? The nazul malaika, this, that. The Allah Ta'ala has instilled into the heart of the Shaykh via ilham to teach his students in this day and age, in this era, in this manner, in this method and style, improve the lives of the students. That's it. End of story. Will we do it? Inshallah. The tariqah I've explained to you, I've told you the verse of the Quran. Successful path I've prescribed to you and explained to you. Such a path that practically you need to explain to you the death of that young woman, alhamdulillah, and she passed away in that way, just yesterday. And this thing pulled me together, the subhanallah. This is the fact, the point. Mustaqil, we should do this regularly, be steadfast. And if you're going to your Shaykh, have your taqad, full belief. Rather, everything he's prescribing, he's saying correctly, we're going to do this. Be regular and steadfast, come on dhikr. Every action, do regularly, steadfastly, consistently. No other demand from you, do nafal fast, or do nafal ibadah, or do this. So that nothing at all, no demands on your head, just this. The tasbihat you've been told, morning and evening, do them. And no other shari excuse than come to the majlis. The amount of Quran you can recite, pray, read. The sins I've told you to leave them. And in the evening, complete your sheets after 40 days. Send them, dispatch them to your teacher, to your sheikh. Say subhanallah. And this is, we can't even do this in our lives. And then we say we want Jannah. No, totally not at all. Totally not at all. قَالُوا رَبُّنَا ثُمْ اسْتَقَامُوا. When Allah Ta'ala said this once, that's it, stick to that. تَنَزَلُوا الْمَلَائِكَةَ. Angels will come. Descend. Allah says, no fear, no grief, no sorrow, no fear of the world, no sorrow of the world, no grief, nothing at all. Rather, what will you have? That abshiru bil jannah, the good news of Jannah will come to you. May Allah Ta'ala give to us all the tawfiq ability. Ameen. Recite the Rushri.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As-salatu wa-salamu ala Sayyid al-Mursaleen. شفي المسلمين تاه وياسين الحبيب الامين اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد النبي الامي وازواجه امهات المؤمنين ذريته وأهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا كثيرا. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وحزننا وجدنا وخطنا وعمدنا كل ذلك انت الله. اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمت وما اخرت وما اسررت وما اعلنت وما صرفت وانت اعلم به. انت المقدم وانت المؤخر لا اله الا انت. ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا واسرافنا في امرنا وثبت اقدامنا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. ربنا لا تظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. اللهم سمتنا للإيمان وعمتنا للإيمان وأحشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. اللهم استقبلنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته وأشرنا في زمرته يا كريم يا كريم. يا اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت. اللهم أعنا على غمرات الموت وسكرات الموت. اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا. اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا. اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا. اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا. اللهم نعوذ بك من عذاب القبر عذاب جهنم وفتنة المحيا والممات وفتنة المسيح الدجال. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا. يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا. يا دافي البليات ادفع بلياتنا. يا شافي الأمراض اشف أمراضنا. يا شافي الأمراض اشف أمراضنا. يا شافي الأمراض اشف أمراضنا. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. يا الله ہمارے ماں باپ کی بخشش فرما دے. یا اللہ ہمارے ماں باپ کی بخشش فرما دے. یا اللہ ہمارے سارے جاننے والوں کی بخشش فرما دے. اے میرے مولا جو بیمار ہیں ان کو شفا عطا فرما. یا اللہ جو ہمارے حلقے میں بیمار ہیں مرد عورتوں کو شفا نصیب فرما. یا اللہ جو تمام بیمار ہیں ان کو شفا قبل نصیب فرما. یا اللہ جن حضرات نے حاضرات نے دعاؤں کے لیے کہا میرے مولا ان کے حق میں دعاؤں کو قبول فرما. یا اللہ جو آج ہمارے سلسلے کی ایک نیک سالہ آبدہ زاکرہ. یا اللہ تیری محبوب عورت بندی تیرے پاس تیری رحمت میں آج پہنچ گئی میرے مولا تو خالص اپنی رحمت والا معاملہ فرما. یا اللہ آج اس کی قبر کی پہلی رات ہے میرے مولا. یا اللہ اس کی قبر کو سجا دے میرے مولا. یا اللہ اس کی قبر میں روشنی ڈال دے ذکر کی ڈال دے. یا اللہ رات نے جو عبادت آت اس نے کی میرے مولا. یا اللہ جو سالوں سال بیماری میں گزارے میرے مولا اور جس استقامت کے ساتھ صبر کے ساتھ شکر کے ساتھ میرے مولا ہر سانس میں میرے مولا اپنے سلسلے کے ساتھ نسبت کو قائم رکھا میرے مولا صاحب حسن کے ساتھ حسن کے ساتھ میرے مولا اس کا حش مشائخ نقشبندی میں کر دے میرے مولا. یا اللہ اس نے چھوٹے چھوٹے بچے پیچھے چھوڑے میرے مولا. یا اللہ ان کی تربیت کا انتظام فرما دے اے میرے مولا غائبانہ تربیت کا انتظام فرما دے. یا اللہ ان کو محسوس نہ ہو اپنی ماں کی محرومی کو محسوس نہ کرے میرے مولا. ماں کی مامتا میں میرے مولا تو اپنی پیار و محبت اس میں ڈال دے میرے مولا. یا رحم الرحمین تم پہ رحم فرما. یا اللہ لحاکین میں جس نے بچوں اپنی والدہ کو بہن بھائیوں کو چھوڑا میرے مولا ان کو صبر نصیب فرما اجر نصیب فرما میرے مولا. یا رحم الرحمین اپنے فضل کرم سے جتنے بھی لوگ بیمار ہیں خوشی پا نصیب فرما. یا اللہ یا اللہ یا اللہ جو تیرے پر قریب تیرے پاس پہنچنے والے میرے مولا. یا اللہ جو اپنی تیاریوں میں لگے ہیں میرے مولا. یا اللہ ان کی تیاریوں کو مکمل فرما. یا اللہ ہمیں استقامت نصیب فرما. یا اللہ ہمیں استقامت نصیب فرما. یا اللہ چھوٹا سا عمل ہو تو اس پہ استقامت نصیب فرما. یا اللہ ذکر جیسی نعمت نے جو ہمیں عطا فرمائی میرے مولا یا اللہ اس پہ شکر کرنے کی اور قدر کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما. یا اللہ کتنا بڑا عمل ہے میرے مولا جس کا تم نے میرے مولا موت کے وقت اظہار فرمایا یہ جس کی خوشبو سے تمام کمرے مہک جاتے ہیں میرے مولا. یا اللہ یہ ذکر کی مجلس ہمیں بار بار آنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما. نفس اور شیطان جو اس میں رکاوٹ بنتے ہیں میرے مولا کتنا خوبصورت سما ہوتا ہے صبح کا میرے مولا، تیرے فرشتوں کو نزول ہوتا ہے، تیری رحمتیں خاص اتر رہی ہوتی ہیں، اور تیرے بندے تیرے گھر میں بیٹھے تیرا ذکر کر رہے ہوتے ہیں میرے مولا، صبح کا سورج نکل رہا ہوتا ہے میرے مولا، تیری دعاؤں کو قبول کر رہا ہوتا ہے، ان کی رزق کو عطا فرما رہا ہوتا ہے، زمانے کی مصیبتوں کو دور کر رہا ہوتا ہے، اور میرے مولا تو ہمیں غفلت سے نکال کر صرف اپنے گھر میں بٹھا کر اپنا ذکر نصیب فرما رہا ہے میرے مولا۔ یہ ایک خواب ہے، ایک حسین خواب ہے میرے مولا، جس کی تعبیر آخرت میں تو نصیب فرمائے گا یا کریم۔ یا اللہ اس میں ہمیں استقامت نصیب فرمانا، اس کی قدر نصیب فرمانا۔ یا اللہ جو اس چیز سے غافل ہیں، سستی کرتے ہیں میرے مولا، ان کو استقامت دے، سستی دور فرما، ان کی سستیوں کو دور فرما میرے مولا۔ ہر روز ہمارا ایک زندگی کا ایک دن کم ہو جاتا ہے میرے مولا، روزانہ ہمیں سورج یہ پیغام دیتا ہے کہ ایک دن زندگی کا تمہارا کم ہو گیا اور تم نے اس کو غفلت میں گزار دیا۔ کتنے خوش نصیب لوگ ہیں میرے مولا جو ہر صبح اور شام تیرے ذکر کے ساتھ، تیری یاد کے ساتھ صبح کرتے ہیں اور تیری یاد کے ساتھ شام کرتے ہیں میرے مولا۔ صحت عافیت کے ساتھ میرے مولا، خوشیوں کے ساتھ، محبتوں کے ساتھ تو ہم اسی طرح زندہ رکھ میرے مولا۔ آخر وقت تک ہمیں اتنا طاقت دے، اتنی ہمت دے میرے مولا کہ ہم تجھے یاد کرتے اس دنیا سے چلے جائیں یا کریم۔ یا میرے مولا تو ہمارے رزق میں برکتیں نصیب فرما، اولادوں میں برکتیں نصیب فرما۔ یا اللہ رزق حلال میں جو رکاوٹیں ہیں وہ دور فرما میرے مولا، جو بھی رکاوٹیں ہیں میرے زندگی کے اندر میرے مولا وہ ذکر کے ذریعے سے آسان اور سہل فرما دے یا کریم۔ یا کریم اس راستے پہ ہمیں قائم فرما دے۔ یا اللہ جو اپنے نیک بندوں کو سایہ تو نے ہم پہ رکھا ہے میرے مولا، اس سایہ کی قدر نصیب فرما، ان کی باتوں پہ عمل کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما۔ یا اللہ اس سلسلہ نقشبندی سے ہمیں جوڑ دے، اور ایسا جوڑ دے کہ میرے مولا کہ قیامت میں بھی ہم اس سلسلے کے ساتھ ہی اٹھیں میرے مولا۔ یا کریم تو آج کی ہماری ساری دعاؤں کو اور مجلس کو قبول فرما، جو ہم تجھ سے مانگ نہ سکے میرے مولا وہ بھی تو عطا فرما۔ یا اللہ جو وہ بھی تو ہمیں عطا فرما، اپنے میرے مولا شان کے مطابق تو ہماری دعاؤں کو قبول فرما اور ہمیں اپنی نعمتوں سے نواز دے میرے مولا۔ یا کریم، یا کریم اپنے فضل سے، اپنے کرم سے، اپنی رحمت سے میرے مولا بار بار ہمیں مجلس اور دعا مانگنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما۔ وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ، نور عرشہ، زینت فرشہ، وآلہ وصحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین۔ سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون، وسلام علی المرسلین، والحمد للہ رب العالمین۔